Lord, right now, what we would like to do is meet with you because we need you so much. So right now, we want to bring all of our thoughts, all of our feelings, all of the stuff that's going on inside of us and lay it down at your feet. And we want to ask you to forgive us as we choose to forgive others. Lay it all down. We want to break agreement with every Antichrist spirit that's seeking to mess with us or to lead us in a way contrary to you. We don't want to let Antichrist spirits live in us. We only want you, Jesus, to live in us. So this morning, may you have the preeminence here. May you come and deliver us. We draw near to you. We resist the devil. We need you. We want to submit to you. We say, Jesus, we love it when we're in your presence. This morning, help us to be in your presence, to hear you, to see what you want. Thank you for undertaking for us. Draw us closer. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. According to the handout, we're going to talk about the church. Here's the way it works with Sue and I. We'll talk about a subject, and she'll say, why don't you write me out an outline, write me out stuff, and I'll type it up. And I'll say, well, I work better if you write out stuff, and then I can just springboard from it and write my own stuff. And then she has to retype it again. Okay? So what she did was she typed up this outline on the church, building a church foundation, and we're going to go over this. But what we're also going to do is I've got a list of things about the church. I don't want to give it all to you at once because I don't want to overwhelm you, but what it's going to be is homework for you. Because the reason I'm giving you homework, the reason we always give you homework, let me tell you why. You don't want to be a member of a cult. Do you? You don't want to be a robot. You don't want to just do what others tell you to do or others tell you to believe. Is that correct?
Right.
You want to find out what the Bible says for itself. What God says. What God says is truth. Not what I tell you God says is truth. Big difference. I remember witnessing one time to a man who was studying to be a leader in a particular denomination, movement. And I asked him, what is it you believe is your foundation of your belief? Why do you believe what you believe? And his answer was, the Bible, which shocked me that that was the first words out of his mouth. And he said, and tradition. And I said, what if the Bible and tradition don't agree? What is your final authority? He said, tradition. I asked God, God, what do you want me to say to him? I'm not going to tell you what denomination it was, even if it rhymes with Catholic. I'm not going to say it, okay? I'm saying this for a reason, okay? I'm not saying that to put somebody down. I'm saying that for a reason. I asked God, God, and this is a key. Actually, there's two keys here. The first one is you ask God, God, what do I say to the person? See, I know a lot of Bible truth, and I used to use it like a weapon. You could open your mouth, and I could take and give you 10, 50 verses to put you in your place. That was not good. Because I was full of Bible wisdom, full of Bible knowledge. But wisdom is how to apply knowledge. And I say, God, I've got all this knowledge in me, but she just said this. What do you want right now for her to hear? And he may say, you just need to ask Sue to give her a hug. when we're counseling, let's say, or sharing or talking. She doesn't need to hear. When you get married, this is just a clue. Guys, women are emotional. I know it's a shock. Maybe I ought to sit down too. Okay. Whoa. Okay. Now, sometimes when they're all upset and it's all, you know, they don't need to hear your wisdom. They don't need you to tell them a right way. What they need, maybe, is just for you to hug them and tell them it's going to be okay. I love you. Or maybe you need to just say, I'm sorry. And that's all you need to say. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, he that spareth his words. Anyway, so we're going to talk about the church, but I don't want to just tell you about the church. I want you to learn about the church for yourself, what the Bible has to say. So the first thing I'm going to challenge you this week, okay, is I want you to look up the word church. Do you have a concordance? You have a concordance. Some of you do. Some of you don't. If you don't, we have them here. Like a Strong's concordance is what I recommend to people. There's several different kinds. There's Young's. There's Cruden's. There's Strong's. But the one that I got hooked on is this. A Strong's Complete Dictionary of Bible Words. It's got every word in the Bible. And what it is, you can look it up, the word church, for example, and it'll tell you all 118 times the word church is in the Bible. And when you look it up, it'll tell you all 118 times where you'll find the word church. And when you, I'm just giving you a hint about how to understand the Bible for yourself. When you want to know about what the Bible teaches about something, look the word up, if it's a word like church, and read every time it's in there, and say, God, what is it you're saying in this verse? And maybe you're going to see, like a lot of the books of the Bible, Ephesians, Philippians, Thessalonians, they start off to the church. The book is written to the church. And maybe you're just going to write to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Philippi, to the church at Thessalonica. And you're just going to write down in that verse, written to. You know, book written to. And after you get through making a note next to each time the word church is in there, you're going to go back and look at it and you're going to see groups. You'll begin to put things in groups, and it'll help you to understand about the church. All I would like you to do this week, it may sound like a lot, but to me it's not. It's 118 verses, which is about equal to about 3 to 4 chapters, okay? But I'd like you to look up the word church. And when you look up the word church in your concordance, realize it's in there. It's 118, 116, 118 times. And when you look it up, write down next, you know, go read them. The next step, if you want to go a little further, is when you read them, write out the reference, like Matthew 16:18. What does it say about the church? Just make yourself a little note. So after you've gone through them all, you could go back and kind of put them in categories. And it'll help you to understand what God says about the church. And the more often you do that, if you did it one time, you're going to get something out of it. If you do it twice, you're going to get more out of it. But as you do it several times, it's going to start making sense, coming together, giving you a picture, helping you understand things like, and I'm not giving this to you because I'm going to have Sue type it up so you don't have to do it, things like the meaning of the word church and the names, what God calls a church, who is the founder. Who's the head of? What are the members called? We call some of the leaders pastor, and we call the flocklings members. Brother Larry comes up to me and says, "How you doing, Pastor Harvey?" I said, "I'm doing very good, Member Larry." That's why I don't go by titles so much, because I'm not a title, but I appreciate that. I really do. But I say words that I do to make people think. What is the church built on? What's the positions in the church, like government? What's the purpose of? How is a church supported? What's required to join a church? What's the first mention of the church? What can we learn from the first mention of the church? I don't know if you know that principle, but in the Bible, there's what's called first mention. The first time something is mentioned in the Bible, God gives insight. There is a purpose, a reason where he has something mentioned the first time. Okay? And the last, and I'm going to have all these typed up. How does a church function? What's the, and like, where does it meet? How does it run? And what's the sacraments of it? Okay? But this morning, you've got your handout. I'm just giving you some ideas. You know what I want you to understand? Is why do we do church like we do? We could do church different. I had a pastor tell me one time, I said, "Man, I wish our church was bigger." He said, "You know how to have it bigger?" I said, "How?" He said, "Why don't you have a rock group come in?" He said, "That'll draw a crowd. Why don't you have a raffle? That'll draw a crowd." I'm like, okay, why couldn't I do that? Because I've read the Bible too much. I don't see those things in the church. I see those against the church. Do you understand? So why do we do what we do, and why do others do what they do? And what does God say? Are we building it on the tradition of men? I've asked two pastors recently that are good friends of mine. I've said, sometimes I wonder if I'm too I want God too much. I'm too extreme with God. And both of them said, one of them is a pastor in a church that runs around 12,000, 13,000. And the other one, I don't know how big that church is, but it's fairly large. And they both said to me, "Don't change. I love God in you. You challenge me. You help me. You inspire me." And these are pastors of pretty large churches. And it's like, but sometimes I go, "God, when I want to stay to the Bible, not everybody does." And so sometimes we get our focus off on numbers or how many people are coming or what can we do to attract a crowd. I know how to attract a crowd. You know, we could have somebody show up naked. Tell them, you know, I mean, would that attract a crowd? Yeah. I mean, advertise it. That would attract a crowd. But is what I'm saying, is that what we're looking for, though, Jen? Is that what we're looking for? What is a church about Christ and about honoring him? What I'm saying is it just about, and there's other ways to have a crowd. See, it's like politics. How do you get somebody to vote for you? You just agree with everybody. Well, you hear a politician and they're interviewing them. "What do you think about this issue?" "Well, some of my friends think this, and some of my friends think that, and I agree with all my friends." They're very unclear. The more clear you become, the more you're going to ruffle people, and the less that are going to want to come. Does that make sense? So, what is church? What does God think church is? Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. We're going to get to our outline here. Building a church foundation. Because we think, like if I ask Abby, What is a church? Abby could say, oh, I've been at church my whole life. Let me tell you what a church is. Dudley, what's a church? I remember when Dudley came and asked for Janiah's hand in marriage. I says, all you want is a hand? No. I said that to one of the other ones. I said to Dudley, I looked at him, because I can like somebody until they want to have something to do with one of my daughters. And then all of a sudden, I don't like them anymore. I can like people until they start messing with one of you. And then all of a sudden, I don't like them. Because I want to protect you. You understand? I remember when Dudley said, I would like to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage. And I looked at him. And I said, God, what do you want me to say? Because I knew what I wanted to say in the flesh. My daughters used to say when they were teenagers, Dad, how are we ever going to get married? Every time we like somebody, you run them off. I said, do you want to marry a man or a mouse? Because if he can't stand up to me, honey, he sure can't stand up to you.
That's right.
You see so many out there where the wife is running things, and it just is not, because she wants somebody to be strong, to be the leader. That's how God created it. But anyway, so Dudley said, I'd like to talk to you about marrying your daughter. And I looked at him and I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? And he said, ask him, do you think you would fit in at Burning Bush? Because she won't end up going to other churches, I can tell you. He said, well, I go to a church just like yours. And I said, really? Well, yeah, we believe in healing. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in the Word of God. And I'm like, so you think it's the same? Well, yeah. Spirit-filled, right? I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? He said, take him up on my lap. After he went up on the lap of the Father, he said, wow. The first words out of his mouth were, wow. I can see what you mean. It is different. I told him, you won't make it if you were going to marry her and you're not willing to come to Burning Bush, because Janiah's already been through the whole process with us, going through all these things and layers and getting to where we are. She can't go back. That's what I told him. She can't go back. So let's talk about church. The church is his bride. I'm going to give you this. We're going over Ephesians chapter 5. And let's start with verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present the church to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it, the church, should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Can I ask a question right here before I go forward? Because somebody says, I love such and such, does that mean they love such and such according to God? When Jesus said in John 14:15, I'm just giving you a little hint, 14:15 through verse 24. When Jesus said, if you love me, what did he say? Keep my commandments. In verse 15, he said, keep my commandments. Then down in verses 23 and 24, he says, he that loves me keeps my commandments. He that doesn't love me doesn't keep my commandments. What has God shown you? Are you doing that? Then you love him. If God's shown you something and we're not doing that, do we love him? there's different levels of love, but I'm just going to say this. We could love, Tempe could love me at Tempe's level. Okay? I think Brandon may love me at a different level. Do you understand what I'm saying? And Don may love me at a different level. And then I think my wife loves me at a different level. I think Jesus loves me at a different level. You get it? So I just want to go back to this verse. Where was that? 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. I didn't mean to get off on this because we're talking about the church, but sorry. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. He says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. If you just took this passage and said, what can we learn about the church? What can we learn? Realize, like if you took this week and you just read this one passage over and over again and said, God, help me to see the focus of this as the church. Not as the husband and wife, but realizing that's a picture of Christ in the church. Right now, just help me to understand what you want me to see about the church. I'm going to read this and then we'll be done. It's right on your worksheet. The church is very important to God. It is his bride. He wants to have an intimate relationship, a partnership with us as the church. It's not just something we do on Sunday and have to sit there and be quiet or color pictures. Church is not just about us getting together, dressing up, singing some songs, dancing around, enduring through somebody speaking, and then going home. The church is the bride of Christ. He wants to have an intimate relationship, a partnership. You see, he is a spirit, and we are his body, and he wants to live through us. In the beginning, there is a time of romance when God is in the pursuit of his bride. In the beginning, God is pursuing after you. And we love that part. But as a relationship matures, as in our marriage, we become one with him in his plans and purposes. In a marriage, it's not about Harvey and what Harvey wants. It's about Harvey caring about what Sue wants and Sue caring about what Harvey wants. And there's compromise and there's working together. But it's a partnership. It's an intimacy. It's a caring. It's deferring. It's laying your life down for the other. And Jesus is laying his life down for us, but he doesn't compromise in his plans or purposes. But he is very kind and caring and loving to us. As a relationship matures, we become one with him in his plans and purposes. Sue and I can start a sentence and she can finish it. We're so much in oneness over so many things. We're so much in oneness. We sound alike. We think alike. I got it. She'll be saying something and I can finish the sentence. And she's saying something I haven't heard before. But I just got it. We think alike. We become one. That's what God's looking for with us. John 17. What Jesus wants. His last prayer. To be one. We are changed, transformed to become like him. Our hearts unite. We begin to work together in partnership. Any good relationship is built on trust, forgiveness, sacrifices, going through hard times together. The church is very important to God. When people tell me I love God, but I don't want anything to do with church, I understand that they're hurt or disillusioned, but I also understand they're disobedient to the heart of God because the church is his body. I love God, but I don't want anything to do with his body. And when you read and you find out he's the head of the church, but you don't want him to be your head, do you understand when people say, I love God, but... Does that make sense? This week, will you get a concordance and look up the word church? This week, and then as you look up the word church, after you've gone through looking up all 116, 118 verses, I don't remember, I guess 118, then go back, and as you read them, write down, make a list. Matthew 16, 18. What did you get out of it? Make a little note so you remember, so you can put it in a category. You'll see after time, you'll begin to get categories. You'll begin to get an understanding of church. You'll begin to see it through God's eyes instead of having somebody just tell you what it is and you become a little cult member, follower. I'm trying to help you mature as a man or woman of God. Okay, Jacob? Any one of you, every one of you, Jen, for you to get from God, Mary, for you, to help you. Some of you are going to go further than others. Also, if you want to read Ephesians chapter 5, 23 to the end, and just ask God to help you see the church in that passage. What is it you want me to learn about the church in this passage? Because he says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. God made us to belong. He wants us to belong to him. And the way to belong to him is always through the church. Always. That's why in the Old Testament, there was people, like in Acts chapter 8, where the Ethiopian eunuch, he's from Ethiopia, but he was a Jewish convert. He had converted to become a member of the Jewish family, okay, because he wanted to belong to God, and they were his chosen people, and it was through the temple, through the synagogues, okay, that's how God was working at that dispensation. But it was all to bring us to Christ. And then Christ, I don't want to give you all the answers. Christ is the head of the church. He's the founder. But when you answer these questions, when I give them to you in the coming weeks, I don't want you to just write down a one-word answer. I want you to write down in the Bible, where did you find the answer? You may know the answer, but where is it in the Bible? Because I want you to see what the Bible has to say about these. And I'm going to give you, it's going to be an open book test, basically. You know, I'm going to be giving you where to go to get the answers. But not necessarily each verse. But a lot of times the book or the chapter. You may know you're supposed to be here. But why? Why here? You may know that you're supposed to be in church, but why? What is church? What's it about? What's God's plan? Is it just part of being a member of a club? Or is there more to it? Jesus, we love you. Thank you for the idea of church and all the concepts of it, and we're looking forward to being able to open it up, see what you want us to see, enter into it, bless your heart, but be able to live your life. And Lord, I thank you for each one that was able to get here, and we say thank you, Jesus. Amen.